But I'll start with the second part, which is found in 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. But I'm going to actually start, as Paul requested, halfway through verse 11. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper.
So you guys are stuck with me for the next 3 weeks, today and two more, right? So, and God had put in my heart to share with you about hearing God in the silence. Those moments that we pray, we sing, we do all sorts of things that we know, and the heavens seems to be quiet. We don't hear back from God. So in tonight, the first sermon will be the still, small voice in the wilderness. That we saw, Brother Paul read Habakkuk 3, 17, 18. And then our main verses are from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11, part B and 12. So as we gather today, in a world that feels relentlessly loud, our lives are filled with noise, the roar of machinery, even the construction ones, the urgent calls of a livestock, the computers, tablets, and phones that do not give us a break, the hum of cars and airplanes, and the endless to-do lists that stretch from dawn to dusk. With all those things, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and lost. We may not have grown so habituated to immediacy, but with the advance of technology, that became a reality. We want answers delivered on our own schedule. The waiting for even few minutes can feel unbearable. It's easy for us to bring that immediatism that we want, that we need, to our prayers. We want an immediate answer as it was for yesterday. When that doesn't happen, our minds race, wondering, why is this taking so long? And as that waiting time extends, our thoughts and feelings can lead us to a single disorienting question. Why God is not answering my prayers? His silence can be disorienting, even painful. We pray for rain. We pray for a healthy calf season. We pray for a good harvest. For protection from a sudden storm or from the powerful wildfires. We pray for good things. We pray for others. We intercede for loved ones who are suffering with an illness, perhaps a terminal one. And sometimes the skies seem to hold their breath, offering no immediate answer but a silence that increases the hurt. No booming voice, no miraculous sign, no overwhelming presence. In those moments, doubt can creep in, whispering, is God truly there? Does He hear my prayers? Does He care about my life? Does He care about this parched ground or this struggling herd or this person that's really suffering? Does He care about all this injustice happening everywhere and the list goes on? this experience of God's apparent silence is not new. It has tested the faith of saints and prophets throughout history. In the Bible, we see Moses, Abraham, Joseph, just to name a few. And it is precisely in this silence that we are invited to learn a deeper, more profound way of listening, a way that often requires patience and faith. And we are normally short of the first, right? In 1 Kings chapter 18, the chapter that precedes the text that we read, we have Elijah facing the prophets of Baal. It's a well-known passage. Those prophets desperately cried out and prayed all day for their God to answer from the sky with fire. But they were met with complete silence. And you know why. In contrast, after their failed attempts, the prophet Elijah offered a simple, short prayer, and God responded immediately with a dramatic fire coming down from heaven, proving that He is the Almighty, the all-powerful God. Wouldn't you love for that to happen when you pray? All done, right? You would immediately get an answer, get a solution for the problem, someone would be healed, and the list goes on. Yet, in the very next chapter, after this loud and undeniable victory, Elijah experiences a period of deep despair where God's voice is no longer a roaring fire, but a gentle whisper found in the silence. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, where the prophet Elijah, overwhelmed by fear and despair, cries out to God, ready to give up. And God meets him. Let's read again those verses. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. Not the grand, the dramatic, the overwhelming force of nature Elijah might have expected. Not the obvious sign we often seek. This passage is a profound lesson in discerning God's presence, especially when He seems silent and we cannot feel His presence. We cannot hear His voice. Elijah was looking for God in the spectacular. But God, who is a master of creativity, in His infinite wisdom, chose a different way to reveal Himself. And we have seen that so many times through the scriptures, right? He was in the gentle whisper, or in the still, small voice. Here are some lessons that I believe can help us to hear from God when we think, when we experience His silence. First, God's silence does not mean His absence. This is the most crucial truth we must grasp. When we don't hear God, it doesn't mean He has left us. It means perhaps He might be speaking in a way we are not used to. Or perhaps our hearts may not be in line with His heart. Or that He is inviting us into a deeper level of trust. We often look for God in the dramatic answer, sudden breakthroughs, or clear signs. But God is often at work in quiet process, subtle shifts, and inner promptings that require a refined ear and a patient heart. Like when we discern the readiness of the soil for planting or taking the next step on a job opportunity. Let's consider the periods of waiting in our lives. When we are waiting for spring after a rough winter, for the market to turn, for a long-awaited rain to break a drought, for a good crop to be harvested, for that difficult animal to finally gentle, or perhaps a good doctor's health report, a successful surgery. Whatever situation you may be facing that takes a lot from you, and the silence can feel deafening, the waiting agonizing. But it is in these very silences that God often cultivates patience, refines our character, and prepares us for what is to come, for what He has in place for our future. He teaches us to depend on Him, not just on His answers, but on His enduring presence. As Charles Stanley said, it is the quiet crucible of our personal disappointments that God often forges our most significant character. This crucible is often found in the long, silent hours spent working in the land, feeding the stock. Those long hours of suffering a loss, when our character is indeed being forged by God. Second lesson, listening to God's silence means cultivating an inner stillness. Like the quiet observation of a good stockman, perhaps. In a world of constant noise, we are often conditioned to seek external stimulation. Our minds race, our schedules are packed, and true quiet is rare. But the still, small voice cannot be heard amidst a cacophony or a loud noise. It requires us to quiet our own spirit, to turn down the volume of our anxieties and distractions, and to create space for God to speak. This is not passive waiting, but it is an active listening. It involves some intentional practices, like finding moments to be truly alone with God, away from distractions, whether that can be maybe if you're running a tractor or a combine, or maybe just watching the sunrise or the sun setting in the mountains. It involves practice while meditating on Scripture, not just reading, but dwelling on God's Word, allowing it to sink into our hearts and minds, listening for how the Spirit will illuminate that passage for our specific situation. And we ask for God to speak at what He wants, not what we want to hear from Him. It involves the practice of journaling. That means writing down our thoughts, our prayers and observations that can help us process our inner world and sometimes review patterns or insights that we might otherwise miss. Sometimes I have some insights that while I'm driving and I cannot stop and I cannot write, I grab my phone and I start talking with myself. You know, because God is saying something that I want to go deep. I want to meditate on that. I want to get more from it, right? I want to pray using those thoughts and ask, okay, God, what is it that you have for my life in this? And you will be impressed. If you have never done that, or you know, you try and stop, I would encourage you to try that more often. So don't miss the opportunity to hear from God while you're practicing the journaling there. So we can practice while we are doing our daily tasks, like being present in the moment, noticing the beauty around us, not only the big things, but the small ones. Like, let me say, the intricate patterns of a spider web on a dewy morning. You know, like, that took a lot of work, and you can see all the details and the perfection that's done on that, right? So, or the strength of a young sapling, the vastness of a night sky where, in this place where we are, we can see the northern lights. How beautiful they are. Or even the beautiful mountains, the beautiful creation that God has given us the opportunity to see and experience His presence. When we see God's hand in creation, it can open our ears and eyes to His gentle whisper. Elijah, the prophet, had moved past the dramatic display of nature to hear God. And this is the same for us, I believe. We too, we must move past our expectations of how God should speak and open ourselves to how He does speak. Often in the gentle, the subtle, the unexpected. Much like the subtle shift in the wind that some of you guys, as an experienced farmer, can say that the weather is coming, there's a change in the weather coming, right? The third point here that I want to emphasize is God's silence often calls us to deeper trust and faith on Him. Like trusting the land that we prepare is ready for seeding. When God is silent, it forces us to rely not on what we hear or see, but on who we know Him to be. It is a test for our foundation. Do we believe God's good, even when the crops fail, or the market drops, or a beloved animal is lost? Can we pray that beautiful prayer that the prophet Habakkuk prayed? Do we trust His character even when His plan is unclear for us? This is where true faith is forged, not in the absence of doubt, but in pressing into God despite the doubt that we may have. We will trust that He is there and He is working. Even though we cannot see, we cannot feel, we know that He is there. And that's much like planting seeds in the ground and trusting that in time they will grow. We don't see the progress, right? We don't see that immediate progress, but we know that one day it will grow. Elijah, in his despair, was ready to give up, perhaps. But God met him with a gentle whisper that reassured him of his presence and gave him new direction. This whisper was enough. It reminded Elijah that God was still sovereign, still caring, and still had a purpose for his life. In our own life, when God seems silent, I don't know if you had experienced that, but for sure I had. It is an invitation to remember his faithfulness in the past. We can recall the times when God did spoke, the ways he did provide, the instances he did guide. And I'm sure as you are here today, you can testify to that. If you do an inventory on your life, when you had some very difficult times, you will remember those. And you will have those as markers of faith. Those memories that you can look back and say, wow, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have passed that moment if God wasn't there with me. So those memories become anchors for our faith in the present silence, where we can trust God and say, I know, we know, God. I know that you are there, Lord. I will trust you. I'll trust you one more day. I will give you, Lord, one more day. We think about those experiences that we can look back and again say, God was really working when I thought he had abandoned me. I thought I was alone. They remind us that God's character is unchanging and his love is constant, even when his voice feels distant. As D.L. Moody once said, the Bible was not given for information, but for our transformation. And often that transformation happens in the quiet moments when we are forced to trust beyond what we see or hear. And my last point here for tonight, God's silence can be a preparation. Sometimes, God is silent because he's preparing us for something greater, something we are not yet ready to receive or even understand. Just as that potter works silently on the clay, shaping and refining it before revealing the finished vessel. Or a farmer who prepares the soil through winter. God may be working in our lives in a way we cannot yet perceive. The silence is not empty. It is brimming with possibilities, a time of unseen growth and transformation, like those quiet roots beneath the earth, like that crop that's preparing to break through and grow. Consider the silence before a great symphony begins, or the quiet before the dawn. These are not empty silent, but moments of anticipation. Something greater is coming, right? Something greater is coming. So God's silence in our lives can be a sacred space of preparation where he's doing where he's doing a deep working within us, equipping us for the next season, the next challenge, or the next revelation of his will. So, as we navigate the complexities of life on the land and beyond, let us not fear God's silence. Let us instead lean unto it, cultivating an inner silence in stillness, trusting in his unchanging character, and recognizing that even in the quietest moments, he is profoundly present, working, shaping, and speaking to those who have ears to hear the still, gentle whisper, the small voice, the small, still voice. May we learn to listen not just with our ears, but with our hearts, for the gentle whisper of our loving God in every sunrise, every rainfall, every quiet moment out there in the fields. Whatever you will be, make space, make time to listen God. Pay attention again on those very small things. Now, it come to my mind, you know, when you see that little ladybug flying, maybe landing on your hand, that's a beautiful piece as well of God's creation. And I want to finish with what Jesus Christ says on Matthew 6. Look at the lilies in the field. They don't work, they don't labor. But not even Solomon had their glory, right? And we, as God's masterpiece creation, were way more important to him than the lilies in the field. So, and again, I want to encourage you, if you don't feel like God can hear you, if you don't feel that God is speaking to you, just pray and give God one more day. Lord, I will face this challenge. I know that you are there. I will trust in you till the end. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, because we can truly come into your presence, Father. Lord, and you speak in so many ways. And Lord, if someone here tonight, Lord, has having some trouble, Lord, to listen to your voice, to hear from you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will be preparing their hearts for what you have in store for them. And Father God, I hope to hear from my brothers and sisters here their testimony in the future, Father God, of the amazing things that you have done while they're facing some very difficult situations, some very difficult challenges, Lord. We pray your blessings over Cowboy Trail Church, and we thank you for your presence in our midst tonight. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.